What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Now, I know we're going to talk about pets. We're going to talk about Tom Brady and Nepo babies, nepotism in sports and entertainment. When you're the kid of someone super famous and successful, is there an advantage? Is there also a disadvantage? We will get to all that. But let's say what's up to Mike in Spokane. We're saying it's National Puppy Day. So on a Throwback Thursday, do you have any like ridiculous pet stories from your childhood?
Sick puppies. I do, actually. I do.
I had an ex-girlfriend whose doggy, this is a terrible story, so I don't want dog lovers crying here. It's a little blind dog. She like rescued a dog that was, wasn't even there, right? This dog was like lucky to be alive to begin with.
How did it sound?
She lived in a two-story brownstone in Brooklyn. This dog went to walk on the balcony to go pee. Keeps walking and goes through the two little bars. Falls. Doesn't die, but it's even more messed up now. This dog ends up, unfortunately, dying. No one told her. No one told my ex-girlfriend that, you know, your dog fell off the balcony. She thought the dog was just very sick. You know, as a puppy, like, yeah, we lost the dog. Years later, like Thanksgiving, someone had a few too many cocktails. It was like, oh, do you remember when Kristen's dog fell off the balcony and died? And she was like, I'm sorry, what? And I was like, ooh, pass the potatoes, pass the stuffing. This is going to be good.
Terrible.
This is going to be good.
You can't cover that up, or can you?
I mean, listen, how many times has a parent been like, oh my God, the ferret died or the gerbil died?
Who are you, the Beastmaster?
Go to the pet store before the kids get home from school. I thought I had a goldfish once that lived 12 years. I'm pretty sure it didn't last 12 years. I think grandpa just, I had a goldfish at my grandparents' house, Danny G. I literally thought this goldfish, Oscar, was a decade old. I'm imagining my grandfather just went to the pet store every couple months when the fish died.
My dad did that for years with my parakeet, and I didn't find out until later in life. I'm like, I had that parakeet for like 14 years.
So did Coco Beware. Then he did that with his birds.
He had a parrot.
Yeah, talk about being traumatized. Have you guys ever attended a fish funeral?
I've seen one on the Cosby Show.
Flush it. The Cosby Show.
I remember that episode. Yeah. So my wife, he told me a story that when her boys were really little, their goldfish died. She brings them into the bathroom and they give the goldfish his last rites and they say their farewell. She plops it into the toilet. And right as she's flushing the toilet, the goldfish snaps out of his coma.
Oh, no.
And starts flapping around. And the kids are like, no.
It's like right out of Dory or Nemo or something.
Yeah, and that's what she had to tell them. Don't worry, he's gonna swim out there like Nemo.
You're a goldfish killer
out of the sewer pipes.
My ex girlfriend had a pet parakeet.
Yeah,
you hear what I said? My ex girlfriend had a pet parakeet.
Yeah,
that pain in the ass never shut up. The bird was cool.
That's an Anthony Jeselnik. Is that Jeselnik?
That's an Anthony Jeselnik joke.
I love that guy. He's
Covino will be here till Thursday.
You guys don't know Jeselnik? He's
great.
The best.
He's good.
But no, I had salamanders. I had pet lizards. I had lizards and salamanders, right? And I was so pumped about them. See, my parents let me get my reptiles, Rich, not like your mom.
Yeah, my mom.
Your
my
mom's
mom,
a Mrs.
My,
Grundy.
My mom's a great woman.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
She
Ramos,
didn't let you do anything.
Danny G, you guys are parents.
Didn't she not let you rearrange your
like,
bedroom?
My mom was the type of mom. Great mom. I love her, right? I mean, I love her to death. She, you know, I got the video games I wanted. I played Little League. She always drove me here and there. My mom's a great mom.
But
she was the type that if I was like, Mom, I want to move my furniture or put up a new poster or do anything. She's like, not now, Richie. Like, she, like, you tell me these stories, and I'm like, man, my wife grew up way like you. Like, if she wanted to move stuff around, go ahead.
So,
like, I think
I'm like,
lived in
Mom,
prison.
Dad, I want lizards. I want So I had all these lizards and salamanders, and I didn't really know much about them. And one day, you know, I was playing in the porch, and I had them in the porch, the front porch, like an enclosed porch. And my dad took me to school that day, but I left them there on the porch, on the windowsill. When I came back later that day, I learned a valuable lesson. And that's when I became the lizard killer. I felt so bad. They were cooked and fried because they were laying in the sun the entire day. I know. I felt so bad, dude. My dad was like, you killed them, you big dummy.
I
felt
you
so
did.
Bad. But I was a little kid. What did I know? I left them out on the porch.
Listen, there's a
I
lot of
they were going to cook.
I don't know about your neighborhood out here in California. My neighborhood, I walk around the block. I see like 20 lizards every time I walk around the block, like everywhere. Didn't you step on one and felt terrible?
I did, yeah. Ran right as I was stepping,
no!
Ran right under my foot. Oh. Yeah. So
don't you also have a story about your mom freaking out?
Oh, my God.
Tell
this
the
is
story,
the worst.
Yeah.
I didn't have a pet. It wasn't my pet.
I know all your stories.
You know, we're talking animals and pets, I guess. It's National Puppy Day if you want to share your story. And again, give your puppy a big hug. I actually have a question about your puppy.
Yeah.
Think about this while I tell my story. Is it lame or awesome as baseball season begins to buy your little puppy like an Aaron Judge jersey or a little like team jersey?
Oh,
is that lame?
I have a thought.
Because I would always make fun of people that would dress their doggies up in this way, but now I'm the owner of a little doggy and I'm like, it's not lame. He's a Yankees fan.
I'm like, dude, everything about you.
Hold the thought. Right. So I'm in Florida with my mom and me and my uncle found the frog. Now, look, I'm from New Jersey. And we have little frogs jumping around everywhere. I'm pretty pumped to find this frog.
Yeah.
I don't see frogs everywhere.
You're in Florida, you said?
I'm in Florida. Okay. So I'm like, yeah. Me and my Uncle Joe playing with this frog. Like, oh, look at it. He's the best. Oh, it's the greatest frog ever. I was so pumped. He's like, he's my best friend. You're coming home with me now.
You're going to live with me now.
My mom comes out, and she's like, you know, nervous wreck about everything. What are you guys doing? Playing with a frog, and it jumps out of my hands, and she has a flip out freak out. Oh, oh! And she starts doing this dance and steps on the frog. And I was like, my little kid heart was broken. And so was this
frog's back.
Yeah. And it like limped away. And I
did
felt
his
so,
eyes pop out?
I felt so terrible. My mom, because she got all scared about it.
And
but anyway,
to answer your question, though,
yeah,
you're
I do
guy.
Have a little dog. His name is Theo, and he's my best friend.
I will say, you're the guy. Covino's the type of guy that nothing's cool until he does it.
Right.
If I would have said this a decade ago, if like, let's say when we first started hanging out, I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to buy my puppy a David Wright jersey. You would have relentlessly made fun of me.
Yeah, because David Wright's lame, number one. Number two, no, I'm just kidding. I like David Wright, actually. Is it lame or awesome?
I think if your girlfriend bought it and you were like, I guess she bought it and you justified
it.
But
I'm not going to buy it.
I mean, I don't know. Dressing up your dog seems like a lame move. And I'm a pet owner. I got little kids, too. I mean, I don't know, man. Dressing up your dog is like...
If it's a Christmas onesie to match the rest of the family
that's
in
the one
Christmas
time.
Sweaters...
That's the one time.
I don't know.
Hey, if it's the one time, I think that's
sports,
the one time, yeah.
No, I think it's cool when you put your dog in like an outfit for your favorite NFL team. That, to me, is cool.
What about the day at every stadium? Like, they do it at Citi Field. I know they do it at Dodger Stadium,
yes.
Where it's like, bring your pet to the game. Like, you see, like, little Fluffy the dog sitting in field level.
Some
you know,
real Dodger dogs.
Rooting on Freddie Freeman. Like, is that lame or awesome?
I think
dog,
that's kind of cool because it's a designated day for the animals. Yeah, I think that's cool.
Right.
I don't like when everyone's, you know, shopping with their pet everywhere, especially here in Los Angeles. You know how many times that happened in my family where one of my siblings wanted a dog or something? Oh, it's going to teach him responsibility.
And then you end up
my
taking
brother
care
never
of
took care of the little puppy ever, not once. Never yeah. played with him, nothing.
Oddly enough, Mike left out the part of the story where he's like, and then when puberty hit, I really started liking that goat again.
That's weird. Hey, speaking
I was
of goats,
like, what?
If you want to stick around, we're going to talk Tom Brady.
Ah, that type of goat.
There you go.
You know what I wanted? Is Dan Beyer on standby? Because I know. Dan Beyer was doing some updates before, and I thought of Dan based on something he said.
Okay.
And Dan was saying how Zeke Elliott has narrowed down his running back search.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets are one of those teams, right, Dan?
Yes, one of the three.
If the Jets come away, I doubt this will all fall into place, but if the Jets end up with Aaron Rodgers, Zeke Elliott, and OBJ, is that like the most oddly configured like redemption team of all time? Like, yeah. like the most oddly constructed, like, whoa, out of nowhere, the Jets could have Aaron Rodgers, Zeke Elliott, and OBJ?
Yeah, they could win a Super Bowl in 2018 with that team.
It's like the Lakers roster the last couple of years, yeah. right? They would have been fantastic 5 to 10 years ago.
Yes, yes.
Wow. But yeah, I just thought that was weird. I thought about that more during the break, and I was like, man, Zeke, OBJ, there's names that are being floated around where the Jets would have a total facelift, right?
Interesting that the Jets and Eagles are two of the teams, and then the other one is the Bengals. Like, how often are the Bengals thought of as a finalist? And not that the, you know, Eagles obviously coming off of a Super Bowl appearance, but to have the Bengals in that conversation was a little interesting. But it also then tells you that for New York, the Aaron Rodgers effect.
You know, it's Dan. I mean, it's New York, it's Aaron Rodgers, but to me, like Zeke and OBJ, don't you feel like those are two players that would be playing with enormous chips on their shoulder?
Yes.
Like Zeke was sort of like, Cowboys, yeah, you're not what we thought you were. You know, we paid you, now you'd get out of here. We're sticking with Pollard. And then OBJ, like last year, no one even wanted to come to terms.
Zeke hasn't had it for a couple of years.
Yeah, it's like, true.
You know, he can do it in spots. And I just, for all of the OBJ hype, I don't think that he was necessarily the same wide receiver after the first ACL. Now you're coming back after a second. I'm not a big believer.
Yeah.
There's a reason why he's not on a team.
True that. Thank you, Dan Beyer.
Thanks, Dan. And again, old school with 50 hits, National Puppy Day. Love your doggy. Give him a high five. And I can't believe we had that entire conversation and you didn't bring up the fact that our most viewed video on YouTube, by far, if you search Covino and Rich on YouTube.
Yeah. Thousands of videos for the last 14 million
views is Rich giving his wife a little French bulldog. And this is a viral video that I'm sure a lot of you have seen already. That's Rich's wife.
Yeah, of all the videos we've posted, you get, you know, a lot of views here. Some videos don't hit. Our most viewed video, 15 million views. Rich surprises Sarah with French bulldog.
Look it up. Check it out.
And it wasn't even intended. I just posted it, Ramos, to show our listeners back in the day, like, hey, I got my girlfriend at the time. Like, I got her a dog she wanted. And it ended up on, like, every doggy blog. And back then, like,
Rich
MySpace and Facebook.
Rich basically uploaded it to show the world how great he was.
Look how great I am. Wasn't that always, like, one of the two things that would always work when you're trying to, like, find a girlfriend was always like, A, like, oh, is that your baby? Or, oh my God, is that your dog? You're like, oh yeah, it's a, you know, that's always was one that would always make, you always felt like you could pick up a girl or something like that with those two things, correct?
Yes. Now, being that it is National Puppy Day and we're talking about pets, do you guys have any, like, is there like a rule in your mind, like if the girl has this many pets, she's a psychopath or no? Like I always said, if a girl had more than three cats, and three is a lot. And I don't want to offend anybody, but if you meet a woman and she seems like she's beautiful, smart, has her life together, good family, but she's like, yeah, I have four cats. Ooh, now
she has like a weird pet? Like, what if she does have ferrets? Are you judging her by that?
Yeah, just
ferret,
so you know.
Ferrets?
You know what I think every time on The Bachelor, Danny G, because we're guilty of watching dumb shows once in a while too. When they do like the hometowns and the girl's like, these are my three dogs. In my mind, I'm like, what if this guy's like, I don't want to deal with your stupid dogs. You know, like that's not always a win.
I want to see how people clean up after their pets. You walk into some people's houses and it smells like their animals.
Oh, gross.
And they're just used to it, right?
Yeah.
About a decade ago, I started talking to this girl. We hung out maybe once or twice, like saw a movie. It was just casual. And the first time I went over, she had a roommate. And they had like a game night. I went over there and hung out. And she's like, hey, let me show you around. So she takes me to her bedroom. And there was dog fur everywhere.
Oh, gross.
So there was like nowhere to sit.
Barf.
I remember sitting down and I was just like grossed out. When I get to my car.
Hey, do you got a lint brush by any chance?
Yo, I needed five lint brushes.
Danny G wears all black. He's a Raiders fan.
Yo, I went to
Danny G looked like Joe Namath.
I freaked
out. Rocking the fur coat.
I was so freaked out. I went to the gas station after I left her place to get back to the valley where I lived. I was covered from my chain to my laces of my shoes in the white dog fur.
Yeah,
and I was like, I am never going back there again.
I'm glad we tied it all together. National Pet Day, you know, you talk about dating. I have a story that I have to share if we're telling these stories. I was single, you know, once upon a time, like we all were. And I remember hanging out with this girl. And I'll always remember going back to her place, and she was a very sweet girl. No, you know, nothing, you know, no red flags, like very nice girl. And we were going to get it on. Things were looking in a nice direction. Like we were, come back to my place. I went in her room and she's like laid in her bed.
Oh boy.
And she had like one of those dogs. Remember the movie Beethoven?
Saint Bernard.
Like this dog.
Did it have like a barrel around its neck?
Dude, it might as well. This dog jumps on the bed while she's getting intimate with me. I'm like, are you like? Could we like do this? She didn't even blink. Like, oh, he's fine. I'm like, yeah, but I might not. Like, and it wasn't. Yo, it wasn't like some big king bed. It was like I was like in my early 20s. This girl probably had like a twin bed, and there's a freaking Saint Bernard in the bed, and she doesn't flinch. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I can be.
Yeah,
I
count it as your first menage.
Yeah. Not what I pictured when I want to be in bed with two ladies.
Rich and Marmaduke. Hilarious.
Very nice.
And you know what? To wrap it up, Danny G, I'm thinking about pets. And again, the reminder here is give your dog, your puppy, mm-hmm. a nice big hug. Give him a little treat tonight. Yeah. Give him some extra love. It's National Puppy Day.
The Warriors.
They came out to play, and they won 127-125.
You mean a two-point victory?
Yeah, but the Mavs are protesting because of a call in question. The call in question went down in the waning moments of the third quarter at American Airlines Arena in Dallas when Warrior center Kevin Looney had an uncontested dunk on an inbound out of a timeout because the Mavs were lined up on the wrong side of the court. And Mark Cuban blames the refs. You've probably seen the highlight on social media.
Well, have you?
Yes, I have.
No, I'm just saying because it's to me, Mark, you're making it seem like I feel like you're leading that Mark Cuban doesn't have an argument.
No, I'm not saying it at all. But I don't necessarily agree with like the outcome of a potential protest. This happened in the third quarter, so like for me, it loses a lot of weight. It wasn't like a game deciding play. That's why I don't find it to be that intriguing of a story.
I never understood how protests in any sport work. Have you in your life?
I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying, like, it happened. He had plenty of game left.
Don't cite me like what happened in a Division II lacrosse game. Can you think of any game, baseball, football, basketball, hockey, like any legitimate major sport where someone protested something and they won the case? I feel like it's usually like, this game is now under protest. And you never hear anything about it again.
It's
like,
just taking a stand.
It's
right?
Like a reaction.
And
like
proving to the fans that you're upset about
it. Like the
this.
Manager will be like, you know, you saw.
The only protest I ever seen work was when my mom was picketing in my hometown to stop a nudie bar from opening up in my neighborhood. And I think it closed down because my mom would not let it happen. She was a big time blocker back then of all the men in the neighborhood.
She was the original Karen.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, mom's doing what? I'm not even kidding you. There was a nudie bar that opened up like at a local, like just a local spot.
Not in our neighborhood.
I'm like, this is what mom protests? And I never saw that place again.
Well,
she must have caught my dad there on a Monday night.
I mean, to put in perspective.
Your dad wasn't even working.
As far as the protests, you guys, there's been 44 in the NBA. There's only been 6 successful. There's also only been one protest win in the league since the 82-83 season. It was back in January 2008 over an error counting Shaq's fouls.
Okay. So what happens? Do they pick up the game from the error? Do they reverse the score? Do they
play a full-on quarter afterward?
Is it like a Las Vegas push? Like, all right, not a win or a loss. Like a tie.
So again, none of the Mavericks defenders were even on that same side of the court.
Mavericks.
So they had a completely open dunk, and you know, no one was there to defend it.
If you don't know the play we're talking about, let me put it in the most simple terms possible. There was a timeout. Both teams were told, when we resume play, you have possession. The Mavericks, according to Mark Cuban, were under the impression that once time and play resumed, they were going to inbound the ball. They hand the ball to the Warriors, and you're realizing, well, the Warriors all started going to one end, and the Mavericks all started going to the other end of the court. The Warriors inbound the pass with no defenders, and it's an easy dunk.
It's an open shot.
And the Mavericks like, what's going on here? Like, we're...
Yeah, the refs should have huddled when they saw the players all over the place.
That's the problem. It wasn't the call. Like, hey, Mark Cuban even said, if you told us, oh, possession arrow, Golden State, that's one thing. They just let the game resume with five undefended Warriors.
Like, and I get it. Mark Cuban's doing what he has to do as the leader of his team, and he has to show the team and the fans that he's got their back, and he has to make a scene about it and protest. But again, they had an entire quarter to make this up. If they would have won, would they have protested it?
I have the answer to your question, too. If you win your protest, then the game is replayed at a later date. The initial result no longer counts toward the season totals for either team.
Mm.
And just so we're clear here, while it does sound like, oh, why are they talking about some meaningless little regular season protest?
It's a big story, actually.
No, because the difference is Golden State is now the sixth seed at 38-36, and the Mavericks now drop to 36-37. So do the math. Before the game, Mavericks were 36-36, and Golden State was a half a game better, 37-36. This is like it's a big shift from now as the standings go today, with what, like a week or so left in the NBA, you're looking at Golden State sitting in the sixth seed, not having to play in that playoff, the play-in game, and Dallas at the nine seed. It's a big difference.
Does he have a leg to stand on? Absolutely. But Danny G, Dan Beyer, what are your thoughts? Is there a chance he can actually win this protest? We haven't seen it in a long time.
It costs $10,000 to protest, right? That's another thing, right?
That's chump change.
And
for Cuban,
Cuban only wants to pay $5,000 for 5% of the protest, so I don't know how that's going to work. Shark Tank.
That's funny.
Reference.
Shark Tank, I like it.
Yes,
like it.
You guys are Shark Tank fans, so I can do that joke.
I'm out.
Love
yeah,
I don't. And for that reason, I'm out, Dan. Come on.
I don't think that it's going to pass. My question is, shouldn't Golden State have been like, all right, what's going on here? Like, there's, like, obviously there was some confusion of what's happening. Like, I know, like, the ball is inbounded at some point, but instead of just going up and scoring right away.
Yeah,
like I go by the philosophy of, like, you know, in boxing, protect yourself at all times.
Dude,
if you're sleeping, that's on you, man.
I am so glad you said that, because I think this has the, like,
it's like when Mayweather knocked out Victor Ortiz.
I mean,
what, you were gonna
I
say
don't even
that?
Have to say anything.
You were
going to
say that.
Covino. There you go. Covino. Stealing the words out of my mouth like a damn thief.
Why am I stealing them if I said them? That you owned them?
Rich is doing the rest of the show under protest.
It honestly looked...
you know what? Forget this.
I wouldn't even thought you would remember Victor
Ortiz. Mark the time. 2:15 West Coast time. I'm now under protest.
You're the guy that makes fun of me for enjoying boxing, saying nobody cares, but you were going to throw out a Victor Ortiz reference?
I was, because the Golden State Warriors going for a BS layup when there's no one there to defend it. That was sort of like when Victor Ortiz and Mayweather, the round started and they tried to do the whole, should we tap gloves or not?
Yeah.
Victor Ortiz had his hands down and Mayweather's like, yo,
bink.
Boom, knocks him out.
It's cheap, but it was legal.
But in boxing, what do they say? Once the bell rings, defend yourself at all times. That's what the ref says before the fight starts.
I mean, that's like the number one rule.
To always defend yourself, but Victor Ortiz was doing this whole, like, all right, before the round starts, we tapping gloves or what?
Mm-hmm.
And he's all confused, like, are we tapping gloves?
Oh, Mayweather, it was so cheap, but...
Much like the layup the Golden State Warriors
cheap,
took.
Cheap, but it counts.
I get it, but when the Golden State Warriors...
From their end.
When they're about to inbound the ball, and they're like, why, I don't know, why is the complete other team at the other basket, at the other end of the court? You don't think they should have been like, hold on, yo, refs, like...
No. You think that it was upon the Warriors to do that? The refs, yeah.
Yes,
the
Warriors? Sir, Steve Kerr, as Ted Lasso would say.
Yeah, that's funny. It looked like, you know, when a guy blows out his knee and he can't play again and he's a senior, so they start the game and he can score a bucket and he gets his ovation. That's what it looked like with Golden State. Like, hey, let's just give Kevon Looney a bucket and we'll give you like that. It just it looked so foreign to anything that we are used to in the NBA.
In the NFL, didn't they do that too, where like on the first play in honor of something or
yeah.
like they were like, hey, we're gonna let the play clock run out, but then on the next play the defense was like, all right, we'll do
jump
like
offside.
We'll jump offside so we can even it out. I just think it's BS, and I get it. We're in a playoff hunt. There's a big difference between having to do the whole nonsense, well, I'm the 9 seed, so we got to play the winner of the 7-8 seed and the loser. If you can avoid that play-in nonsense, good for you. And now Golden State is in the 6 seed. I get it. Covino, the other point would be, well, there's a whole fourth quarter that Dallas could have made up for, but still, I don't know. Dan, it was a pretty wild moment. When you look at
nuts, just the visual. Even Steve Kerr was trying to be like, hey, what about the and he didn't really even know what was going on.
Cuban went on to say on social media that it was the worst officiating non-call mistake possibly in the history of the NBA.
Ooh.
Wow. All they had to do was tell us, and they didn't. And that's gotten millions and millions of views.
There's some pretty bad non-calls. You ever see that where, I mean, I'm going back to a random moment. Do you ever see the play where LeBron James straight up walks with the ball for like 5 to 10 feet?
Yeah.
And then no one sees it. Like he literally is walking on the court and it's like, oh, let me remember to dribble. Speaking of random NBA stuff, how do you feel about Ja Morant letting the clock run and not touching the ball? Is that a cheap move if we're talking about cheap moves? Because the play clock doesn't start until the offense touches, but the game clock will keep rolling. You know, sometimes on the inbound, the guy will roll the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that highlight last night? Ja Morant just stands there and he's like, I'm going to let the clock run until a defender finally, like 20 seconds later, came up to him. So how do you feel about cheap play?
I mean, it's exactly that. There's nothing more you could say about it. It's cheap, but it's like it was legal.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut. The new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes.
And me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
What up, dogs? National Puppy Day. You know what this song's about, right? When the aliens take over, because they're coming. And if they're listening, what's up, aliens? It's your boy, Covino. When they come and take over, we're going to make great pets to the aliens.
We would.
Porno for Pyros, Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio, National Puppy Day, like we said. It's also National Chip and Dip Day and National Tamale Day, so enjoy yourself.
As the meme goes, you don't realize how little self-control you have until someone puts chips and salsa and guac in front of you. It really is. What's worse? What do you feel like you have less self-control on, Ramos? If I put a basket of hot bread at a steakhouse.
No. The Cheesecake Factory sweet brown bread.
That's cool.
Is it bread? Is it chips? What is the thing where you have no control?
It's bread, because I love butter, so it's always bread and butter. I always want butter and bread, and I'll eat the whole bag.
When I was just on the little trip I took with my wife down to Mexico, the little breakfast spot we had, every so often the guy would go around with a little basket
of
pastries.
Don't give Rich your weakness, because now he's going to sabotage you and leave a loaf of bread and a stick of butter in the lobby.
Ramos is 300 pounds now. But I felt so embarrassed. The guy's going around with a little pastry basket while we're on vacation, and I'm like, yeah, can I get another one? I must have asked this guy 4 times a day, yo, my guy, get over here. Can I have another little croissant, chocolate croissant?
Enjoy your chips and dips. Enjoy your Thursday. Thanks for enjoying Covino and Rich. I'm going to enjoy a nice cocktail or cerveza to start the weekend early tonight.
Yeah, let's do a college style.
Starting the weekend early.
Again, the party today.
Live from the TireRack.com studios, we got an update from Dan Beyer.
Danny Dan.
Guys, some crazy stuff happening in the National Football League. A story that's been developing over the last 30 minutes or so. Multiple reports reported that all 32 teams in the NFL received a memo that a non-certified NFLPA agent going by the name of Ken Francis has been contacting teams about those teams entering into negotiations with Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson. Now, clubs are not allowed to negotiate with an uncertified rep. Negotiations with a team can only occur with the player or an NFLPA certified agent. Jackson has recently responded within the last 10 minutes with a tweet of his own saying, quote, "Stop lying. That man never tried to negotiate for me," end quote. So the Lamar Jackson saga continues. We'll get to another athlete tweeting about a report earlier today.
Dan, time out. Yes? Just one second. I'm sorry. The Lamar Jackson thing, not having an agent, and if you're that high profile of a guy, we have an agent. You get to
a certain level in your career, it becomes unprofessional and not have representation.
Even if you don't know if you need one, Lamar Jackson not having an agent is a little strange. Yo, Dan, you said something about LeBron earlier. Did he pull? I'm not saying on Aaron Rodgers, but didn't he pull some type of if you don't hear from me, don't trust it?
Yeah. Well, but all the things that are refuted were never said in the report. He never said there was never an evaluation today. No one reported that. He also said that he's been working around the clock, and then put in parentheses 3 times a day. Mm-hmm. So that's not around the clock. That's 3 times a day. Yes, and it's very Aaron Rodgers, Adam Schefter-ish.
Mm-hmm. In a way,
that's
right?
That's the sense that I got, yeah.
Thank you, weird. Dan Beyer.
You know, I heard I know we're going to get into nepotism and Tom Brady. I know we're running short on time. I saw our buddy Ryan Leaf, who's a really good dude. Honestly, Ryan's always been cool to us. We saw him at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Former top draft pick and just never worked out. You know, guy had some troubles, but Ryan's always cool with us. Saw Ryan Leaf talking about Cam Newton, and it was an angle, I'll give him credit, it was something I had never thought of before. Because everyone loves to talk about, this guy's a distraction in a negative way. This guy's a distraction. And it's always a negative connotation. Leaf's analysis I thought was interesting, and I'll give him props. Cam Newton is such a hard worker, but it just doesn't necessarily translate on the field anymore, that it might be a distraction if he's the first guy there, last guy home. You know, if he's the hardest working good dude, but he just doesn't have it anymore, and he's your, quote, maybe backup, that could be a distraction.
Agreed.
It doesn't need to be a negative distraction. You know, we say distraction is always maybe he's a bad guy or not a good team guy.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying.
He's saying, Cam Newton's such a hard worker that, he can't blend in.
It's not a negative thing. It's his hard working and work ethic is what also makes him a distraction.
It's almost if this guy's not going to start, and let's say you have a young guy and Cam's your backup, do you want your backup to be the guy that's first one there, last one gone? Almost too much.
But that's just another layer of the distraction then.
But I'm saying it's not a bad distraction. You could be a positive distraction. If you were
that's
Captain
the positive,
Romance.
But there are negative parts of meaning you got a superstar like Cam Newton playing second fiddle, which I don't even know if he's willing to do. Yeah. Is he willing to do that? He doesn't seem to be that type of guy. You know, there's always the pressure of having someone of that stature behind you for a young quarterback.
I'm just saying, if you're an alpha male or an alpha female, sometimes you just don't have the ability to not be the lead singer, essentially.
Yeah.
Maybe
I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? It's not a bad thing. It's some guys aren't.
He's a leader.
He's not cut from the cloth of like, I'll be the bass player. He's got to be the lead singer. And if Cam Newton's not the lead singer, he just doesn't fit in the mix. Danny, am I making sense of this?
Yeah, or maybe a team could let him be the drummer like Genesis, but he still gets a live mic.
Yeah, what's that? What, you know what? That's, if they put him in a, yeah, if they ran a couple Wildcats with him or something, get threw him a bone once in a while. But if Cam Newton's just a clipboard backup quarterback, that just doesn't seem like the way he'll end his career. And then you wonder, like, is there a lure for any of these guys to try the XFL or USFL that's starting up again, or is that just beneath some of these guys?
I mean, if they're getting paid, I think they would do it.
Yeah, but they're not really. They're never going to get paid. Get paid, yeah. You get paid a hell of a lot more to carry a clipboard, like you said. Just a thought. I saw that.
It's a good one.
And I was like, man, Cam Newton. I think sometimes it's like, you know what? I'll give you one last analogy. If you're with a group of friends, you have a few couples that hang out. If one husband is like Captain Romance and he's always buying flowers, always doing everything, it's like, dude, you stop it. You're like putting a weird pressure on the rest of us to be like the perfect husband. So if Cam Newton's there and he's like, I'm the backup, but I'm the first guy in, I'm watching tape, I'm doing it. Slow down.
He's putting unnecessary pressure
on
whoever the starting quarterback is. But again, that's just another layer of the potential distraction he could be.
You're basically telling him to be more like Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, don't watch
Come
any
on, dude.
Don't do anything. No, I'm saying there are people that are like, I'm a backup, and they're okay with it. Cam Newton's too much of a competitor to be, I'm a backup guy. There's not.
Yeah, he's going to ruffle up situations a little bit. So I get it. A lot of it is a positive sort of way to look at it. Speaking of quarterbacks, Tom Brady in the news. Tom Brady always sort of in the news. And there's a few stories. He's got some cryptic tweets we're going to touch on, but there's a story about his son.
Yeah, Tom Brady's son, and I thought this was interesting. Tom Brady's son is getting bullied because he's Tom Brady's kid. And there's a part of me when I first hear it, I'm like, how is Tom Brady and Giselle's kid getting bullied? He's got the coolest parents ever. But then I'm thinking, could having the coolest parents ever be why you're bullied.
Yeah, people are jealous, makes you a target.
According
you know,
to
make fun of your parents. Your parents' lives are public. Your dad's, you know, kissing your brother on social media. They're going to find any reason to make fun of him.
Well, Tom Brady, this is according to People Magazine, people.com. Tom Brady and Giselle, their son Benjamin, 13, has faced bullying being the NFL star's son. Tom Brady's kids each have their own chosen sport. Giselle explained this to Vanity Fair in another interview. But they're all natural athletes. Now, Benjamin, who's 13, seems to not be into sports like baseball, basketball, football. He's more of like surfing, skiing, like more of an activity guy.
Well, I mean, even better because it can't be easy living in the shadow of your dad, especially when your dad's the GOAT.
But anytime they're saying these kids play little league sports, little rec sports as kids, there's an immense pressure that, well, it's Brady's kid.
Of course.
He better be good.
Of course.
And when he's not good, they're saying the kids are picking on him, and the other parents are like, what's the deal? It's supposed to be Brady's kid.
Yeah, so some little kids are the worst, you know?
Well, yeah.
And it's always a shocker to me as a dad of a teenage daughter. It's like, well, don't the bully's parents have any idea that their kid is the worst?
No, bully's parents don't know.
That's the weirdest part about it.
I've said it before. My biggest analogy always is when you're a kid, someone gets their bike stolen. The kid that stole the bike, his parents are so, their heads are so far up their ass, they don't realize their own kid stole a bike.
Yeah, they don't wonder whose bike is that.
I didn't buy that bike.
It really is the parents.
So it's like crappy parents.
Crappy parents have crappy kids.
And that's
so it's not their fault, but it's the truth. It happens.
But here's the question. Is being the son or daughter of a superstar, is it more pros or more cons? Ramos, there's a clip that O'Shea Jackson Jr., Ice Cube's kid, who's great, by the way. I know he's a big LA sports fan. We've talked to him a bunch of times. He was on Kelly Clarkson's daytime TV show talking about being the son of Ice Cube.
I'm forever grateful for everything that my dad had to do to get me the opportunities that I have. Yeah. And if I were to run away from that or shy away from it in any way, in my eyes, that's disrespectful to everything he had to go through. He didn't work as hard as he did for me to not accept and appreciate it. And so I wear it as a badge of honor. A lot of people, when they see me naturally, hey, you're Ice Cube's son. You damn right I am.
You know, I heard
that's cool, man.
And I thought that was such a cool and positive and different spin on being the son of a celebrity, because a lot of times, even the word, the sound, the way it sounds, nepotism, sounds like it comes with a negative stigma to it, right?
Sounds so terrible.
Sounds negative, but wouldn't it be counterproductive to not take advantage of the opportunities you have that your family, your parents paved the way for? Like, wouldn't that be foolish to not sort of see if you can knock those doors down?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Tiebreaker on the line here in Dallas. Curry spins away from a defender, forces his way to the middle, gets to the foul line, bounce pass, Draymond goes up, scored and got fouled! One with a foul, Draymond's got a chance for a three-point play.
Courtesy of 95.7 The Game, Warriors Radio Network, Draymond Green and one. In the fourth quarter, Warriors beat the Mavericks with controversy in the game.
Mavericks.
127-125.
Maverick.
We talked about that controversy. Mark Cuban not happy about it earlier today. Definitely check out the podcast and take a listen. It's the progressive play of the day. We are Covino and Rich. We are Fox Sports, Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah. Now, when we talk about Nepo kids.
Nepo babies.
The kids of famous athletes, actors, musicians. I have a feeling that I think the coolest outcome is when the kid actually becomes better than the parent. It's like a...
Or just as good like Prince and Cecil.
I mean, they're identical.
Their stats are so close.
And same waistline, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Prince and Cecil Fielder?
No, Prince had him in the waistline.
When
you look back, it's like a proximity sort of thing, because Cecil for the time was huge. But when you see him from today's perspective, he's not that big.
Yeah, you're right. But when you think about, like, all right, Archie Manning... was a really good NFL quarterback that just happened to be on a real bad team. How cool for him to, first of all, not only have two Super Bowl winning kids, his grandkid is going to be like the next big thing.
Oh,
like,
he's got that super sperm.
He does. I mean, when you have super sperm like Archie Manning, there you go.
For real.
What about Del Curry? You don't think he's happy that it's like my son's better?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You don't think Ken Griffey was like, yeah, I was a star, but my son is the kid.
It's the best, but that's why it's not a negative sort of stigma or connotation behind it. People love to say nepotism is a bad thing, and they usually position it as a bad thing. It's like, no, someone worked really hard to get somewhere, and the kid would be foolish to not, like I said, use the doors open for him. But now there's pressure on that kid to deliver. Can he be better or just as good or create his own path thanks to those doors being open?
I mean, that's
anyone that didn't
go through those doors that were open for them is a fool.
That's the amazing part and the interesting part of being one of Tom Brady and Giselle's kids, right?
And that's where we got on this.
Mom is a supermodel. Dad's the greatest quarterback in NFL history. There's probably equal parts like that's so awesome versus, well, like I better amount to something, right?
So is there an advantage or disadvantage? Are you saying is the pressure too much for these kids?
I think it's cooler when like a moderate star has a superstar kid. And an example on today is what, National Chip Day?
How about Clay Bellinger and Cody?
I mean, yeah, his dad was like a utility guy. Yeah. Well, on National Chip Day, remember the show Chips?
Yeah.
Baker and Ponch?
Yeah.
California Highway Patrol?
Yeah.
In that show was Robert Pine, who is the father of Chris Pine. And Danny G was saying that, what was it? Robert Pine said there was a definite point in his life, right?
Yeah, he was Sarge on Chips. He was a star in the 80s. And he said he went from being that to all of a sudden he was Chris Pine's dad.
And that's got to be awesome. Like, imagine, Kavino,
if Chris Pine wasn't good, he wouldn't be Chris Pine. You know, like, sure, his dad helped him out. Probably learned a lot from his dad. Probably opened a few doors for him. Chris is still on Chris Pine to deliver and probably deliver even more since there's a higher expectation for the guy.
You think here's an interesting thought. Your dad, Steve Covino, you're the what?
The second.
The second.
Yeah.
Is there a part of your dad that thinks it's cool that, I mean, you're on the radio, you've been on television, you do all that. His name you've made that name, Steve Covino, way more popular than your dad.
Nationwide, man.
I mean, that's got to be like, he's got to be like, yeah, my son, yeah, that's my name. But, you know,
you know how dads of our generation are. They don't tell you they're proud of you. You don't know. I think he's happy.
Maybe
about
on his
it.
Deathbed one day, like, and I'm proud of you.
I mean, he listens all the time. He supports, so of course. Of course.
But
that's awesome.
You have a little son. What if you have a son, a little Junio Covino?
I don't think there should never be competition. That parent's an a-hole if he's not rooting for his kid to be better than him.
And by the way, I say Junio Covino because Covino always likes to say there's a million Julios, but no Junios.
Right.
June, July. There's women June, but if
one day. One day one I'll day. Have a little Junio
if,
of my
if you,
own.
What if you have little Junio Covino and he's
I'll
like
I'll be rooting for him to be the best.
What if it's like
better than dad?
He's the starting shortstop for the Red Sox and all of a sudden it's like, you're Junio's dad?
Yeah, that would be great.
He would be more proud of you if you updated the game right now. Kansas State 18, Michigan State 17.
Whoa. There it is. So, we'll keep you posted on that. But I think the reminder here is, look, Tom Brady's kids, there's great opportunity for them.
Yeah.
But, of course, there's a lot of pressure on them because there's an expectation. Oh, how good are they going to be?
Yeah.
You know, and they're creating their own path, which makes it even better.
Again, I don't want to be rude ever, but Billy Joel and Christy Brinkley, right? Well, no, who had a kid? Billy Joel and was it Christy Brinkley?
Yeah.
And the daughter looks more like Billy Joel. And like, no, still beautiful.
No,
but
she's
like,
talented.
No, still beautiful and talented. But like, do you really want a supermodel mom and you end up getting your dad's looks?
I think that's her mom. Yeah.
No, I mean, come on. I'm not being rude. I'm being real. All right. We'll see you guys mañana. Enjoy your March Madness. We're back at it until tomorrow. Arrivederci, baby.
See you in the promised land.
Have a good night, everybody.
Goodbye, guys.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.